I'm a firm believer that America is the greatest country in the entire world. When you look at our wealth, our economy, our military, and other things like our transportation system or our technological advancements, it's pretty clear that we are head and shoulders above the rest of the world. But there's something else I've realized about this great nation called the United States of America, and that is we are also the most wasteful nation in the entire world. Think about this. You and I make up 4% of the world's population as Americans, but we produce over 12% of the world's garbage. The average American is said to be responsible for over 1,700 pounds of trash in any given year. It has been well documented that we waste more food in this country than any other nation in the world. In fact, statistics show that we throw away 40% of our food. When you combine all the food that is purchased in our homes and by our restaurants, 40% of it is never consumed. That would be like you setting 10 plates for your Christmas dinner, and then right after the prayer, as soon as you hear the word amen, you take four of those plates full of food and you just throw them on the ground without anybody ever taking a bite. Listen, we as a people are naturally wasteful. In case you were wondering, the message today is not on cleaning your plate. We're talking about something far more important than that. There's something that grieves the heart of God far more than wasting your food, and that is wasting your life. Today, I want to share with you a set of principles from God's Word that will not only help us avoid wasting our lives, but they will position us to maximize our lives. You know, we say it all the time around here that we want to maximize every moment for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God. But we will never get there, and we will never accomplish that unless we follow the blueprints that God gives us in His Word. So let's open it up today and see what God has to say about maximizing this moment and not wasting another second. I want to invite you to join me today as we open up to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to dive into God's Word and see what He has to say. You know, the book of Philippians was a letter written by Paul while he was in prison. And he was writing this letter to believers in Philippi to encourage them and to equip them. And in doing so, Paul is also going to write to us today. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he said these words, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it." You see that? See, Paul looked at life as a race. And right here, he was saying, at this point in my race, I haven't yet achieved my goal. You see, in a race, everybody runs. But the race isn't over, and the goal can't be achieved until you finally cross the finish line. And that's what Paul was saying right here. He was saying, at this point, I haven't crossed the finish line. At this point in my journey, I haven't yet achieved the goal. So get this today. Paul was a guy in the middle of his race that had not yet arrived. He still had a race to run, and he was writing to people that were still in the middle of their race. And in the same way, he's writing to us today, people that are still in the middle of our race. And he's asking the question, how can we maximize this moment and not waste another second? He's about to show us how that's possible today. I want you to join me in looking at what he says in verse 13. He says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." Forgetting what is behind. Man, so many of us hear that today. People that just walked through a nightmare of a year in the year 2020, and we say, man, I will gladly forget what is behind. I never want to think about the year 2020 ever again. But right here, he's given us a principle to live by that says we've got to forget the things that are behind us, which includes the bad things, but also includes the good things. He's telling us, don't make a habit of looking backwards. And when he says that, he's showing us that the first step in moving forward is a commitment to stop looking backwards. Paul tells us that there are things in our past that will prevent us from being maximized in our future if we keep on focusing on them. Let me give you a couple examples of what we should forget today. You ready for this? He tells us we should forget our past failures and mistakes. We should forget the past failures in our life and the mistakes in our past. All of us have things in our past that we aren't proud of. Let's just be honest. We have things that we shouldn't have done. We have things we shouldn't have said. There are all kinds of things in my past that I would love to redo. I can give you a long list of things in my past that I would love to go back and undo. That's most likely true for most of us here today. But instead of us dwelling on these things, the Bible tells us that we should instead confess these things. We should repent from those things. We should make amends where we can. We should learn from our mistakes. But then there has to be a point in our life where we decide to move on. Paul says, forget the things that are behind you. And that includes the bad things. But you know what else? It also includes the good things. Not only should we forget the past mistakes, he tells us we should also forget the past successes and the victories. We should forget those things. Listen to me. Yesterday's victory doesn't do anything for today's game. Right here, Paul is saying today is another day. Don't dwell on who you used to be. Don't focus on who you used to be, but instead choose to be the person that God wants you to be today. One of my favorite characters in the movie Napoleon Dynamite was a guy named Uncle Rico. Do you know Uncle Rico? You gotta love Uncle Rico. But the truth is, Uncle Rico had a problem. And his problem was he was stuck living in the past. This is the guy that said, back in 84, I could throw this football over them mountains. I don't know if you saw the movie or not, but it was pretty funny. But this was a grown man that was stuck focusing on the person he used to be. He couldn't live in the present because his identity was stuck in the past. And maybe you're watching this today and you're thinking about your own life and you're thinking, man, I used to go to church. I used to walk with God. I used to share my faith. I used to tithe or live on mission or read my Bible or pray with my family. Maybe you're thinking, I used to disciple my kids. But now I don't do those things, and I feel terrible about who I've become. Or maybe your story is, I used to be an atheist, or a drug addict, or an abuser, or a womanizer, and the devil has convinced me that that is who I truly am. You know what Paul would say to both of those things? He would say, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Listen, you have already lived yesterday. And you can't relive it. You've already lived the year 2020, and you can't relive it. Praise the Lord, right? You've already lived the past, and it does you absolutely no good to dwell on the past. Like Sir Winston Churchill once said, if the past quarrels with the present, there can be no future. We must learn to accept the past as an unalterable and move on. The prophet Isaiah said something similar in Isaiah 43:18. He said, do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to things of old. When Paul tells us to forget what is behind, don't misunderstand what he's trying to say here. When he says forget, he isn't saying fail to remember the things in your past. He's saying, don't be influenced by, don't be affected by the things in your past. You say, man, how in the world am I supposed to do that? Well, we've got a great example of that in Isaiah 43:25, where the Lord says, I am the one, I sweep away your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more. You see that? Man, when he says, I will remember your sins no more, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden the God of the universe is suddenly experiencing spiritual amnesia and can't remember your sins. It means that he will no longer allow your past sins to affect your present relationship with him or your future fellowship with him. So what that tells us is step number one for those of us wanting to maximize this moment and not waste another second is that we've got to forget what is behind us. And we've got to learn from the past. We get that? Listen, we've got to learn from the past. But not only do we need to learn from the things that happened behind us, Paul is going to tell us that secondly, we've got to live in the present. So yeah, we've got to learn from the past, but we have got to live in the present. When you live in the present, you're able to see and experience the Lord in a far greater way. In fact, in Psalm 68, verse 19, it says, "Blessed be the Lord. Day after day, he bears our burdens," which tells us that we serve a God who walks with us on a daily basis. He meets our needs. He bears our burdens when? Daily. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Jesus tells us that living the Christian life, living as a disciple of Christ, is a daily walk. It's living in the present, pursuing Jesus, walking in obedience to the commands of Christ, so that we can maximize every moment for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something today. You cannot maximize the present if you're living in the past. I'm going to say that again. You cannot maximize the present if you are living in the past. What we focus on is important. The things that we focus on, they're very important. I believe that's what Paul was saying when he said, "this one thing." You see that? Philippians 3:13 says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." The one thing you focus on is important. I'll never forget the first time I went to the circus. Man, I was fascinated by the lion tamers. You ever been to the circus and seen that? This crazy man got into a cage with 8 roaring lions. And the only things that he brought with him were a whip and a 4-legged stool. Have you ever wondered why a lion tamer carries a stool with him into the cage? Man, I did. I was clueless. But I was curious why in the world he would bring the stool. And come to find out, when a lion tamer holds that stool up with the legs extended towards the lion's face, the lion tries to focus on all 4 legs at the same time. And by doing so, his inability to focus on multiple things at the same time, it totally paralyzes him and prevents him from doing what lions were designed to do. It stuns him. Listen, God designed you and put you on this planet to focus on one thing. The devil, on the other hand, wants you to focus on multiple things because he knows by focusing on everything, we are unable to focus on the one thing. You say, "Man, what is the one thing that God wants me to focus at today?" Well, look at what Paul says in verse 14. He said, "I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." That word "goal" in the Greek is the word scopos, which means to focus on. It's where we get our word telescope. It means to fix our eyes on a very small object. Paul's eyes in this text, they were focused on one thing, this one goal. And he says the way to accomplish this goal is to do 3 things. We got to learn from the past. We've got to live in the present. And thirdly, he's going to tell us we've got to look to the future. We've got to look to the future. Read these verses again, beginning in verse 13. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." In this passage, Paul is looking ahead, and he tells us that we should be living our lives and pursuing this goal that is promised to us in the future. And don't forget, Paul is in prison here. And as he's writing this, he doesn't even know if he'll have a future. He doesn't have a clue what's going to happen next in his story. For all he knows, he could be executed later that day, or he could be freed once again. But what he was saying in this passage was, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. He was saying, it doesn't matter if you beat me. It doesn't matter if you torture me. It doesn't matter if you kill me or if you free me. The details of my circumstances really don't make a difference, because either way, I'm going to reach forward to what is ahead, and I'm going to pursue as my goal the prize promised by Christ Jesus. Remember, in Paul's mind, life is like a race. And right here, he's speaking like an athlete. And he's saying, I'm not worried about yesterday and the things that happened in my past. I'm not focused on the starting blocks. I'm focused on the finish line. And no matter what obstacles I face, no matter what persecutions and punishments I have to endure, there is nothing that will take my eyes off the prize. He said, I'm running this race to win. That's my goal. That's my focus. I'm not going to waste another second in my life. I'm going to maximize this moment for the glory of God. And you better believe I'm going to run. I'm going to run. And I'm going to win. And you know what? My victory will be in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question today. Can you honestly echo those words in your own life? You know what the prize is going to be for me? You know what prize is waiting for me at the finish line? Heaven. Jesus. Life eternal with the God of the universe. And Paul tells me I ought to run every single day. I ought to live every single moment. I should live every single second with that goal in mind, with eternity being the primary focus of my life. Let me ask you something. What is the one thing you will focus on in the year 2021? The one thing. At the end of the day, our lives are going to be focused on one primary thing. What is that thing going to be for you? Or think about it this way. If you actually won the race that you are currently running, what would the prize be? And would that prize make any difference 100 years from today? God didn't put us on this planet to run a meaningless race with temporary prizes. He didn't put us here to run for the approval of the world or the things of the world. We are in this race today because God put us here. And he tells us to run with one goal in mind, with one mission in our heart, and with one focus in our life. And that's him. Let me ask you. Are you pursuing Jesus more than anything else in this world? Are you pursuing his will or your will? Are you building his kingdom or your own kingdom? Is Jesus truly operating as the Lord of your life? If not, let me just tell you, you will waste your life and you will never be maximized. But on the other hand, if you want to make the most of every moment while you're still here on planet Earth, go all in with Jesus. Learn from the past, live in the present, and look to the future. You see, we have an opportunity to walk in a real relationship with Jesus Christ. He didn't design us to be the Lord of our own lives. God sent his Son to be our Lord, our Master, and our Savior. Many of us know what that looks like, to step into a real relationship with the Son of God. And because of the relationship we have with Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within us and has changed who we are from the inside out. But if today you are continuing to live your life without that reality in your world, if you are continuing to live with Jesus being a religious figure or Jesus being a great leader, and Jesus is still not your Savior, Master, and Lord, today could be the day of salvation for you. You don't want to start another year all by yourself. You don't want to begin a new season with a question mark next to your eternal destination. And I may be speaking to someone today that says, man, I am tired of wondering where I'm going to spend eternity. Today, once and for all, I want to nail it down and go all in with Jesus. Can I invite you to do that right now? I invite you to bow your head, to close your eyes, and to pray, speaking directly to him. And just tell him, God, I know that I need you because I can't save myself. So God, in the best way I know how, I'm asking you to step out of heaven and to step into my heart. I turn my back on my sin and I turn all the way towards you as my hope for salvation, as my Lord and my Savior. God, come into my heart and change me from the inside out. Make me a new person. And God, give me the confidence to live for you and follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, we want to celebrate your salvation. That was the greatest decision you will ever make in your entire life. And our church wants to come alongside you, celebrate you, and also resource you. And so I want to invite you to send me a text message to the number 74784 right now. It's just one single word, the word saved. And when you send the word saved to 74784, it allows us to connect with you personally, to celebrate your decision, and we're also going to send you a gift to get you started in your relationship with Jesus. For all of you other believers today, let me just say, I hope you're encouraged by what we read out of God's word today. Paul has encouraged me, and I feel more prepared to begin a new year by applying these three principles. I pray you'll join me and do the same. It's going to be another great year, and we are trusting the Lord as we move forward together. Have a great day.